Our sermon today is based on a reading from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Thank you, God, for your promise to be with us always and forever. Okay, so I'm not trying to get a jump on Christmas, but I guess everyone looked at today's bulletin cover and thought, what, holly leaves and mistletoe already? We're talking about Christmas already? But it won't be Christmas for what, 57 more days? No, I'm not jumping the gun on Christmas. What I'm actually doing is continuing the sermon series I began a few weeks ago that focuses on scripture that very helpfully offers translations for us of words we might not know. So we have learned that about Siloam, which means sent, and Rabbi, which means teacher, and Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. So why not let's culminate the series with the ultimate translation, Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Emmanuel is not a word we should only pull out around Christmas. Emmanuel is a word for us to use and think about every day. Isaiah, as we heard, prophesied centuries before Jesus' birth what his name would be and what his name would mean. Jewish names, and especially prophetic names, carry definite and precise meanings. They're not just picked out of the sky willy-nilly or made up on the fly. They are chosen for a reason, and not, in the case of the name Emmanuel, just for one season. Emmanuel is the embodiment of the promise God made to all of God's children long ago. The promise that one day God would actually walk among us and live among us and share all the ups and downs of our lives as human beings. And thus God sent to us Jesus Christ, his son and our savior, the ultimate Emmanuel. When prophetic names were given, they meant the person spoken of would really and effectually be what he is called, that they would live up to the deep meaning of that particular name. So, for instance, Abraham would become the father of many nations, and Jacob would be one who wrestled with God. And so Jesus is not just named God with us. Jesus is God with us. We may mainly think about Emmanuel and its implications only around Christmas when we sing songs such as O Come, Emmanuel, and Emmanuel, Emmanuel, which we actually sang for our communion hymn today. But we know that although Jesus made his first physical appearance here on earth at what we celebrate as Christmas, Jesus has really been with us all along, since the very beginning. Remember how John's gospel begins? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus was in the beginning with God, making everything that decorates and defines our world right alongside God. It does Jesus an injustice to only pull out Emmanuel at one season of the year. Each and every day, we should be intentionally thinking about the implications of that one word, Emmanuel. Take its translation word by word, God. God, the creator of the universe and what lies beyond the universe. God, who keeps an eye on everything going on. God, who has to make sure everything works in the world as it should. God, sovereign, omnipotent, immortal, has deigned to be with us, the most humble of God's creation. God has made a covenant to tread with us in all our trials and triumphs, to stroll with us and give us strength, to be there for us to lean upon when times are hard, to listen to our prayers and accept our praise. God chose to manifest himself in human form, in the form of Jesus Christ. I believe it was one way God sent a clear, challenging message to all those who were still cavorting around with false deities in the days of Jesus' first incarnation. For example, the Romans had a whole team of gods that they worshiped, gods who covered just about every facet of life. Jupiter was the supreme god over everything. Mars was the god of war. Neptune was the god of the seed. Venus was the goddess of love and beauty. Diana was the goddess of the hunt and controller of the moon. Vulcan was the god of fire. In Roman belief, these gods were far and above the earth, watching humans from a distance, now and then interacting with them, especially Zeus, but generally just looking down on people with amusement as they drank their nectar and squabbled among themselves and used people like pawns in a celestial game of chess. The Romans had some tales of these pseudo-gods coming down from heaven to mingle with people now and then, but it was nothing like what our God did. God is no longer a distant being seated on a throne high above the heavens, aloof and unattainable. God has descended to this earth and has become one of us. The Roman deities retained their immortality. They could come to earth and not be slain or die. That was precisely why God in Jesus, Emmanuel, came in order to take upon himself our sins and die to redeem us and reconcile us to God. The whole gist of the gospel tells us no other gods would ever dream of being with their worshipers in the same way God dreamed of being with us, and then God made that dream a reality. The second word in the phrase is small but mighty. It's present, it's timely. It's not was once, but no longer. It's not maybe sometime in the future if you're lucky. It's is here, now, wherever, whenever, forever. What a feeling of comfort and security we should have just thinking that God is with us now and God will always be with us. With the third word is in this translation is just as powerful as the word is and as the word God. God is with. Actually with us. God is not standing far off, just watching us, waiting for us to make a mistake so God can zap us. God is not looking on indifferently and laughing when we fail or fall. God is not holding back a helping hand when we stumble or a blessing when God feels giving one to us. God is not off somewhere ignoring us. God is with us. Us. Frail and fallible creatures made of soil, something we talked about in our Disciples Women Fellowship group last week. You should join us. God is with us. Us, weak and wandering and wondering, but most of the time God realizes and appreciates that we are sincere in seeking God and following God's will. Us, even when we're not at our best. Us, even when we doubt, even when we fight, even when we resist. Even when we sin, us, even when we try and fail, God is with us, Emmanuel. It's not just a word we should pull out only at Christmas and no other time. It's our word for today and for always. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for always being with us. As this thought lingers in our minds, may it bring us comfort and not coldness. May we feel secure, not scared, watched over and protected and loved. Show us your presence and help us learn to glorify you and the Christ you sent to be with us, not just at Christmas, but forever and ever.